So we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 6, Chapter 1, Text Number 42. Yeah. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate
Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Suryo Agni Kam Marud Deva Soma Sandhyani Disaha Kam Hu Shayam Dharma Iti Hi Ete Dhyasa Sakshina Suryagni Kamaro Devam Soma Sandhyani Disan Kamku Swayam Dharma Iti Hiyati Dhyasa Sakshina Suryagni Kamaro Devam Soma Sandhyani Disha Kamku Sayam Dharma Iti Hiyati Dhyasa Sakshina Suragni Kamaru Deva Soma Sandhyani Disa Kam Kusayam Dharma Iti Hai Sakshina Soma Sandhyani Disa Yam dharma iti Hiyati dhyasa sakshina Any messages? Surya agni kamaru deva Soma sanyani disha Kam kushrayam dharma iti Hiyati dayasya sakshina Surya agni kamaru deva Soma sandhyaini disha Kam kusvayam dharma iti Hiyati dayasya sakshina Suchogni kamaru devam Soma sandhyahani disha Kamku swayam dharma iti Kiyati dayasya sakshina Surya, the sun god Agni, the fire Kam, the sky, Murut, the air, Deva, the demigods, Soma, the moon, Sandhya, evening, Ahani, the day and night, Dishaha, the directions, Kam, the water, Hu, the land, Swayam, personally, Dharma, Yamaraj or the Super Soul, Iti, thus, He, indeed, Ete, all of these, Dhyasha, of a living entity embodied in material elements, Sakshina, witness. Translation of Purport by His Divine Grace, Abhay Charanaravinda Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. The sun, fire, sky, air, demigods, moon, evening, day, night, directions, water, land, and the super soul himself are all witnesses. All witness the activities of the living entity. Please repeat. The sun, fire, sky, air, demigods, moon, evening, day, night, directions, water, land, and super soul himself. All witness the activities of the living entities. Purple. Some members of some religious sects, especially Christians, do not believe in the reactions of karma. We once had a discussion with a learned Christian professor who argued that although people are generally punished, after the witnesses of their misdeeds are examined, where are the witnesses responsible for one suffering the reactions of past karma? This was Prabhupada asked one of his professors when he was at Scottish Church's College. The professor was making this statement. You're talking of karma coming from previous activities, but who is there the witness to know that we have in our experience that someone goes to court and only when the witnesses come they tell their side and then the judgment is made after hearing the witnesses. But who are the witnesses for past karma? You're talking of past karma in your Hindu philosophy. Past karma. Who is the witness for that? The Prabhupada, the professor presented this in one of Prabhupada's class. They used to do half an hour Christian, a Bible study when he was at Scottish Church College. So this is what one of his professors, the teacher, the reverend, asked. Who is the witness for Pascha? So, to such a person, the answer by the Yamaraj is given here. A conditioned soul thinks he is working stealthily and no one can see his sinful activities. But we can understand from the Shastras that there are many witnesses, including the sun, the eye of Krishna, looking. When we're walking in the road and we see our shadow, it's caused by the sun. So you can understand, Krishna's looking after me. You can see Krishna when you see a shadow in the sun. He's looking. It's the eye of Krishna. So looking at me. So then we can become Krishna conscious in the sunshine. But anyway, Krishna is looking. His vision extends more than 93 million miles. 93 million miles away from the earth, the sun, something like that. That's his vision. We can see a couple of miles, I think 8 miles. You see about up to 8 miles, and after that, 93 million miles, Krishna's eye can see everything. Good vision. He doesn't wear glasses either. Sky is everywhere. It's all pervading. How you can escape? You've got to be acting in the sky. Air. Moon, nighttime. You can't hide at nighttime, even the moon gets coming. Demigods. 33 crores, devatas, in philosophy. They're all witnesses. And Prabhupada said, every point of your body, every part of your body, every one point, there's a demigod in charge of. So they're witnesses. Every part of your body is a demigod witnessing. What the sun and the moon cannot illuminate is hidden from the sun and the moon, then the demigods. Every point is some demigod is conscious of that point. That's a specific duty. Who else? Evening. evening time, day and night. Of course we get the evening, day, night, directions. How many directions are there? 10 directions. Every direction we look, there's a witness. Behind us, 10, up and down. Witness, down. That means the down can even see under your feet when we're walking, right? Direction of downwards. No escaping. Directions, water, land, and the Super Soul himself, who is all-pervading, who sits with the individual soul within the heart. Where is their dearth of witnesses? The witnesses and the Supreme Lord both exist, and therefore so many living entities are elevated to the higher planetary systems or degraded to the lower planetary systems, including the hellish planets. There are no discrepancies, for everything is arranged perfectly by the management of the Supreme God. Swabhavika jana kriya bala bala kriya cha. The witnesses mentioned in this verse are also mentioned in other Vedic literatures. Aditya Chandru Anila Nalascha Dayo Bumir Apo Hiridayam Yamascha Ahascha Ratikascha Ubhi Cha Sandye Tarmopi Janati Narasha Britam. It's more or less the same as the another verse from Vedic literature, but it's almost the same as the same translation, all those witnesses. Om Agyanti Mirandasya Chananjanan Shalakaya Takshura Militandina Dasmaya Shri. Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Garatha Shiva Shri Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hari Hari. Hari Ram, Hari Ram, Ram Ram, Hari Hari. So, because of all these witnesses, this Prabhupada is saying here, because of all these witnesses and the Supreme Lord both exist, and therefore so many living entities are elevated, the higher planetary systems are degraded to the lower planetary systems, including the Earth. So again, this is a continuation from yesterday's verse. Because Lord Narayan, these directions, witnesses, are witnesses under the order of Lord Narayan. So they have their position in this material world. This is an extra duty. Because we need air, we need water, we need light. There's an extra duty, and Lord Narayan has ordered all of these, his energies, various energies, you also be witnesses. So they have a double duty. They're the witness also, under the order of Lord Narayan. So it's saying how Lord Narayan is actually the cause of all causes. And because he controls everything, all the elements are working under according to his dictation, his direction, then he's known as the cause of all causes. So his manifestation of all these different energies, Shatagun, Tamagun, Rajagun, they're all pervading these three modes of material nature. They're constantly interacting. It's constant flux of the modes of material nature. Sometimes we're in goodness, sometimes passion, sometimes even sometimes mixed. But they're constantly in flux. This way we get so much variety, we get so much complicated. This world is very complicated. That's why we're so entangled. It's very difficult to work it out, because when the mode of passion is present, means excitement, etc., you get a different conclusion if you're doing something and then you do something in the mode of goodness. Or if you're doing the same thing in the mode of ignorance, when it's present, you get different results. So it's very confusing. And one of our devotees, who used to sit on the mat, managing and things like that. He said you could see it there sometimes, that you discuss some points, you know, some issues, some management, and it all seems, you know, everything, they come to the conclusion after a long discussion, they come, it's like, you know, this is okay, it's okay, it's okay. And then they establish their conclusion. Next meeting they have, and they bring up the discussion again, and it doesn't fly again like that. And they come out with a different conclusion, even though it was absolutely, everyone agreed on it. And the devotee was telling me that it's just due to the modes of the influence, that, you know, the influences are there at that time. It just changes from one day to another. It's you're discussing the same thing, but you come to a different conclusion. So like this, we're bowled over by these modes of material nature. It's always different. They're always changing. It's a constant flux is going on, the goodness, passion, and it can happen fast and it can happen very, very slowly. But these movements are always, the whole world is going under these waves of material nature. It's constant flux. So this is the arrangement, by the arrangement of Krishna, you just can't be steady and catch it. We go along with it. You can't become, it's very difficult to become aloof from the modes of material nature. So therefore, it's maya. The modes of material nature means maya. So it's very, very bewildering to see how everything is working in this material world. But it's all moving and acting according to the desire of the Lord. Not a blade of grass will move without the sanction of the Lord. There is complete control. Complete, just like a walnut. Example is given a walnut. You open the walnut, you see how the nut is, has that membrane kind of packed inside. You can't, it doesn't rattle or anything like that. It's just so perfectly, it's there, and it's not going to move, that walnut, with all the kind of the membranes holding it. When that's within the shell also. So it's just not going to, it's packed. So we're like that. We're completely unable to practically move. Although, you know, we think we're free and we are moving. It looks like we're moving. We're moving by the sanction of the Lord. The soul cannot move independently of the body, practically. And the body can only move when I will it to move. And then it can only move when Krishna sanctions my will, or he wills my will, or he sanctions my will. Then it can move, otherwise nothing's going to happen. So we're entirely dependent on every activity, on every aspect of life in this material world. It's all Lord Narayana is the cause of all this. Krishna's business is pleasure, so he just gives all his work is done by Lord Narayana in these different expansions and features of the super soul, etc. But anyway, this is because of the different. It says in this way, all the living entities are awarded different qualities according to these three modes of material nature. And then they get different names, such as Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, etc. So this is how material world works. You're under this influence and then you're designated as Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya. 8,400,000 species of life. 400,000 humans. That means Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra. There's four, and then Brahmacharya, Grihastha, Vanaprastha, there's eight. They all have different activities. They're all different species. And like this, due to their association with the modes of material nature, then they're a little bit more mixture, then they take another body. 8,400,000 species, because 8,400,000 desires the living entity can have. And to suit that desire, Krishna's arranged that you can get a particular body. Prabhupada says you calculate, you have the three primary colors, red, yellow, blue. You mix blue and yellow, you get green. You mix red and blue, you get purple. You mix yellow and red, orange. So then you get, you see, by the combination of these, you get three, then you get 3 into 3 is 9, 9 into 9 is 81. You keep going, you come to 8,400,000 mixtures, combinations. I don't know how it does it. I tried to work it out. I couldn't exactly get that. Maybe I'm doing it wrong. But anyway, Prabhupada says it. It works out to 8,400,000 mixtures of the modes of material nature. Mixtures of your, that means you got, that's your desires. Not, it's not more than that, exactly like Krishna's planned it. And yeah, so like that, according to the taste and the living entity, he has to accept a body according to that, that mixture and the flavor he's got and the desires he's acquired in this lifetime. That will designate his next body. So nobody can see what's taking place here. Even though they may try, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita. Nobody knows, even though they try. So it's very bewildering. Why? Because Krishna's made it bewildering. Why has he made it bewildering? Because we have to be bewildered to forget Krishna. This is a world of bewilderment. Well, we want to forget Krishna. You have to be bewildered, otherwise you can't forget Krishna. There's only one consciousness, that's Krishna, that's Krishna consciousness. We're all conscious. There's only one consciousness. When we try to serve separately from Krishna, it's impossible in the spiritual world. So therefore Krishna creates a material world. Where there is actually a covering, you do get covered. That consciousness gets covered by Krishna's arrangement. That's the first avidya. Avidya. That's the first cover the living entity's consciousness. Then he can identify himself as the enjoyer. If Krishna's in the way, then Krishna's the enjoyer and he knows that's interfering with his enjoyment. He can't do that. So the first covering, avidya, Krishna gives you that out of his kindness. Forget, you've become forgetful of Krishna. Okay, now you're, now here is, I give you the world. Then you, Krishna gives us the world, all these millions of varieties of life and species, and we're wandering through up and down. By Krishna's grace, because we can't do it by ourselves. We can't even forget Krishna by ourselves. Krishna has to help us forget him, so he has to cover with avidya. That's how, and that's how kind he is. We're envious of him. We want to take his position. Still, Krishna sees they, you know, they're my children, but they're just behaving a bit strange or so. Anyway, give them some, get sent to the material world where they can imitate. So all these witnesses, so many witnesses, so therefore the punishment is coming. The punishment is coming through these the different kinds of witnesses. So the punishment means, rectification. We're being punished. We may not see how we're, the cause of the punishment, but the punishment is supposed to be, is a rectification. That's the way we're supposed to learn from this material world. After a lot of punishment, a lot of births again and again, universe after universe, and we're supposed to realize from this punishment is actually a treatment. Krishna's giving it as a treatment. Sin, your sinful reaction in the form of punishment is actually a treatment for our disease of wanting to imitate Krishna. So this is Krishna's kindness again. So when we actually twig it, when we actually understand what's going on by the grace of a devotee, meeting a devotee who reveals everything, which we'd never even heard before, dreamed of before, then we can understand what's taking place to a certain extent. Then we can make that inquiry to go back home, back to Godhead, and make the endeavor to go back home, back to Godhead. Then Krishna will give you much more help. As much help as you want to forget him in the material world, he'll give you much, much more to remember him. You take one step toward Krishna, Prabhupada says, and Krishna takes 10 bounding leaps to you. He's so happy when you eventually turn your face to see him. So, so here, this story we're reading is glorifying the holy name of the Lord, the potency of the holy name of the Lord. saving such a sinner as Ajamila, who chanted, not really conscious of his son. He was calling his son. But how, by the power of the name, he actually got delivered. This conversation that's going on now is regarding Dharma. What is Dharma? What is the Vishnu Dutas are asking Jamad, what is Dharma? You're talking about Dharma, you're being Dharma, but you tell us what is. First explain what your idea of Dharma is. So they said, Shishuna, we're Srinu, we're hearing. We have heard. Yes, it is. Yeah, we have heard from Yamaraj. And then he quotes the Dharma Shastras, he quotes the Vedas. So what's wrong? We are strict followers of Dharmaraj. We have heard from him properly. He's an authority, he's a Mahajana. Whatever he says is Dharma. And this is how he is telling us. Sinful person, they had to be taken to Yamaraj and punished. And we happen to be the dispellers of this punishment. We come to take the soul away. That's our Dharma. It's our service to Yamaraj. And he has told us what is Dharma. So why are you interfering with our Dharma? So the Vishnu Dutas are smiling a little bit and said, it's okay what you're saying, but there's something more than this. It's higher than this. You may be quoting from the Dharma Shastras. You may be quoting from the Dharma Shastras. But there's something more than this in the... and that is Krishna consciousness. The Shastra, the Dharma, is established by Krishna. He speaks the Vedas, they emanate from him. He said, I am the knower of the Vedas, I am the compiler of the Vedas. So he knows everything. So he is actually the law maker, and he is also the law breaker. He can transgress his own laws of Dharma, because he makes them. King can do no wrong in the British constitution. King can do no wrong. He is absolute. Even if he commits simple act, he's considered God on earth. He can do no wrong. So this is Krishna's position. He's the lawmaker. He's the lawbreaker. So he's spoken the Vedas, but sometimes he transgresses the rules of the Vedas. Generally, he sets an example. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, if I did not work here, then everyone would follow my example. Then everything, the womb would become corrupt. There would be unwanted progeny. The nice argument Krishna gives. Previous to that, Arjuna gave the other argument. If I kill my relatives here, you know what's going to happen? I'll kill all the men, because all the men are on the battlefield. A lot of women left. No one to protect them. They're all going to become corrupted. And from that corruption, all the unwanted children will come. And then the whole of society will become degraded because of these unwanted children, or unqualified children. And I'll be the cause of ruining the dynasty. This is Arjuna's argument. Krishna defeats him. Or he reverses the argument later on. And Krishna says, if I didn't do my duty, then people would follow me. And that would lead to the degradation of society. So Krishna is reversing this argument, Arjuna's argument, that if I fight, Arjuna saying, if I don't fight, I'll be the cause of unwanted progeny. Krishna says, the other way around. Well, Krishna said, if I don't do my duty, and fight, I'll be the cause of unwanted progeny. So Arjuna said, if I don't fight, I'll be the cause of unwanted progeny. Krishna says, if I don't do my duty and fight, then I'll be the cause of unwanted progeny. Right? Oh. Anyway, Krishna reversed the argument. What was the thing? Anyway, so anyway, talking about duties and dharma. See the Vedas, because Krishna is the speaker of the Vedas. There is. Is about 94% karmakanda. What's existing today, we know of the Vedas, and it's only a little portion of existence, apparently. About 94% or something is karmakanda, which is what Arjuna is talking about, and what the Yamadutas are talking about. They're talking about karmakanda. So that's maximum what there is, 90-something percent. And then there's about 4% jnana-kandas, who are into knowledge, who want liberation. And then there's about 2% of deals with the yogis. A yoga system gets siddhis from yoga. And like about 1% of bhakti is mentioned in the Vedas, so therefore it's very uncommon. Bhakti is uncommon because it's hardly heard of out of the 1%. And karmakanda we see very before our eyes every day. Everyone's interested in karmakanda, producing, trying to enjoy the world. That's very, very prominent. Liberation. If you're not from India, you never heard that word. Liberation. Nobody ever talked about liberation. what to speak of bhakti beyond liberation. So the Yamarajas, although they're performing what they call is dharma according to Yamaraj, it's just dealing with the karmakanda section. Of the Vedas, and these people were sinful, they have to get a reaction for that. So the Vishnu Dutas, they know there's something more than that. They're picking up on the 1% bhakti bit because they're bhaktas, you see, so they can and they say, no, you're talking of dharma, but you don't understand the potency of the holy name. This Ajmer chanted the holy name one time, that's beyond dharma. Because of that, because he chanted the holy name at the time of leaving his body, then he became purified. But this is not in your dharma shastra. So he performed bhakti. So you come for the sinful persons, we come for the bhaktas. The last thing he chanted was Narayan, he's a bhakta. So he's actually our property, we're going to take him back to Vaikuntha. So in this way they're like defeating the arguments of the Yamadutas here. So this is how important it is that we, you know, we have to hear from the devotee. Shishnu, we should hear. The Yamarajas, they're accepting that, very good. The Yamadutas, we heard from, they're accepting authority, that's very good. They heard the Majahan. But because they happen to be dealing with not so clean elements and things like that. And, then Dhammaraj, he hasn't given them full information of, you know, pure bhakti. And their karma is to be in that position of Yamadutas and giving trouble. If they became devotees, they may leave them. Anyway, for at least that one bird. Then they make advancement because they've been serving Yamaraj, just by their, his association and service to him, they make advancement, obviously. So, yeah, so this is the important point. We have to hear from a devotee. So the devotees, they can reveal Krishna, they can reveal what is the real purpose of life. We have to hear from persons who have also heard perfectly from their master. This is the system. The parampara said we have to hear perfectly from perfect persons. Prabhupada says not from anyone, fakir. They will just talk a lot of speculative stuff. So don't be like a fakir. Just speaking. And what is use is that? So we use the ears for hearing from an authority. And this is for humans. So human is obligated to hear from authoritative sources. So therefore the kings, the governments, they should make this arrangement so that there is facility for the citizens to hear Harikatha and knowledge of how to go back home, back to Godhead. That's the duty of the Kshatriyas. Yes. So hearing is important. And Prabhupada said that it is for humans. The dog hears Bhagavatam in no effect. The elephant, he said, elephants have very, very big ears. He said, but it has no effect if they hear Bhagavatam. It's for humans. So, it's like we're all here. Why? We heard. Otherwise, we wouldn't be here. We've heard something. Chant Hare Krishna. Suddenly, you heard. You put it into practice. Why don't you take a book? Someone sold you a book. You read it. That's like hearing. You're reading Prabhupada's words. And then, as a result, then all of a sudden, it's 24 hours a day Krishna. What happened? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Ram Hare Ram. It's only Krishna, Krishna's devotees and Krishna the deities and Krishna's service, and you know, it's almost immediate for many people. It's, before that you never even heard of Krishna in the West, like. And then in a few moments, because you heard, that was what happened. An awakening was there, that awakening voice, Prabhupada calls it. The calling voice, the awakening voice. It awakens you within that, you know. This is what the soul is searching for. This is why there's 84 lakh species of life. This is why the transmigrations, heavens and hells, and this is what it's, why it's all going. Because, and when we suddenly hear from about Krishna and our relationship with Krishna, then we understand this was the purpose. We were awakened now, that voice awakened to what we were searching for. And that is why the 84 lakhs are alive there. We are searching for that ultimate happiness with Krishna. But because we're misguided, we're not satisfied. The soul is not satisfied. We're identifying with the body. The body is performing all the activities. The body is getting all the reactions of the activities, but still impressions. But still we're not satisfied. The soul is not satisfied. So therefore, change your activities, change your mode of worship, change your whatever it is, and go on to a new species of life. Prabhupada gives the example of the babies crying, and the mother is trying to, he doesn't stop. So she gives to the other Mataji, and the other Mataji, oh, chiku, 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 chiku. He's still crying. He gives to the other, they pass her around the room, and baby doesn't stop crying, you know. And then they give to the lap of the original mother. And she stops. So this is like our sojourn in this material world. We're crying. When we meet Krishna, we hear about Krishna, then that's the satisfaction we are looking for. Yeah. That's where we belong. That is the soul satisfaction. So then this transcend, you can transcend all of the dharmic activities by becoming a devotee. Otherwise we have to suffer by the reactions and recorded by all the witnesses here. Everywhere is, you can't escape, the witnesses are everywhere. It said even the sandhya, day and night, in between day and you get twilight and dawn or dusk. It's not day, it's not night, it's called sandhya. So there's also a witness in between, the sandhya. We have to chant. Dayams, was it? Dayams Duvams, three sandhya. In our morning prayers, Guru Vastakam, three sandhya. Three times a day we should remember the lotus feet of Guru. When you chant your Gayatris, you're remembering the Lord during these three sandhyas. So even in between the day and night, there's a sandhya, so the sandhya will get you. If you think you can escape, like Hiranyakashipu, he's making all these programs, how he wouldn't be killed day and night, and this and that. Krishna got him at the sandhya. He didn't mention the sandhya. He said, not day, not night. So it wasn't day and it was night, it was a sandhya. But he didn't mention it. So therefore Krishna got him he killed him in the sandhya. So like that, the spies are everywhere. Even in between the day and night, but what to speak of that, even between the atoms, the super soul is there. He's everywhere and in between the atom. In the atom and in between the atom. So cannot hide anything from Krishna. So best you don't perform any more sinful activities or pious activities. This is a good thing about being in Navadvipa Dham. Serving Navadvipa, because it destroys all of your bad karma and it destroys all of your good karma. Hari Hari Bol. Because with your good karma you're going to come back again in a pious family, so we don't want that. So Navadvipa kindly destroys all the bad karma and all the good karmas, and we can go home by God. Jai Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Nitai Go Premanandi. Jai Krishna. My clock is moved. They've moved the clock. I guess people got an anxiety. And any comment or question? Yes, sir.
Thank you very much, Prabhu. What a nice class. You were explaining about these modes of the nature, how they are moving and influencing constantly everything in our life. Sometimes during service or even sometimes during the chanting, we can feel some excitement, some enthusiasm. How we can discriminate if it is maybe just the modes of the passion or maybe inspiration from Krishna? How we can discriminate between these two?
Discriminate? Well, if you want to discriminate, if you're performing a devotional service and you want to discriminate what's happening, then you kind of come out of the bhakti aspect. So discrimination is not always good. Discrimination comes to the realm of Shankha Yoga. Shankhya Yoga, that's discrimination. But when we're performing bhakti, we shouldn't be discriminating, we just be absorbed in the service. The moment you start discriminating, you come out of bhakti. Krishna Chakrabarti says, just when you're talking about bhakti or love, the moment you start to talk about it, it disappears. Because it's something that's just there, it's spontaneous. It's something you're just absorbed in. The moment you start talking about it, it's gone. The bhakti is very slippery. So if we analyze, it'll disappear. The bhakti, our devotional service with it, our consciousness, it will disappear from our consciousness. But anyway, we're understanding that Jivya Sarupaya Nitya Krishna Das, this is our understanding. I'm identifying myself as a servant of the servant of the servant of Krishna. This is my service. It's in a very passionate place. I mean, New York City or somewhere. A very passionate place, but... And Rajas is very prominent. So I'll be Rajas in my devotional service. It speeds me up a little bit, and I can go out and give more books. And hey, Mister, you know, however they do it, and you can be a bit more passionate. But like that's devotional service. We're using whatever situation it is. Prabhupada was living in the Bowery, in the mode of ignorance, and the drunkards were sometimes sleeping outside the door. And one time one got up to let Prabhupada pass. Prabhupada said, thank you. He performed a bit of devotional service. He was ignorant, but but anyway, it's not, we shouldn't really, we see Krishna, we see the service. We don't really see the environment or the what modes of nature, how it's going on like that. That's generally, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says sometimes, maybe on a codicil, you can analyze your own spiritual advancement. But not all the time, otherwise you're going to end up jnanis. So it doesn't really matter how the modes of material are interacting, we're just absorbed in Krishna. That is bhakti, that spontaneous enthusiasm, that is bhakti, that is the great thing about spiritual life. That we can use anywhere. We don't know this goodness, passion, or ignorance in the present. We see Krishna our service, so then it becomes infusing. And this is the meaning of the Gayatri, is the sandhya, the prachodaya, meditating on Guru, Krishna, etc. Why that prachodaya means that it's that person who's infusing me, that Krishna, our Guru, is impelling me forward. He's giving me inspiration. So that we're remembering. Yeah? By Krishna's grace, by Guru's grace, we're able to perform this service. We're always, it's not me, it's Guru that's enthusing me. It's Krishna that it is. Mahaprabhu that's enthusing me. So like that we see, it's the meaning of the meditation. Because the Gayatris are actually meditation. Dimahi means meditate, but what we're meditating on is how we're becoming enthused. We're meditating on the enthusiasm that's bhakti. So like that, if we should be like that, then we don't see goodness, we don't see passion, we don't see ignorance, we just see Krishna saving that. Thank you. Yes. Abhaya Prabhu. Abhacharya.
Hare Krishna. You were mentioning how hearing is for the human being, and you gave the example like the elephant has big ears, but it hears and it's not necessarily the, well, maybe affected or... But I was just, that just reminded me of elephant, like Ganesh has an elephant head and he's has super sharp memory.
Huh?
Or Ganesh.
Oh, Ganesh.
Or, and then I was thinking also, like, I've heard that actually when we chant the holy name or do sankirtan, everyone is benefited, even the plants and the trees.
Everyone?
Everyone is, everything is benefited. The plants, the trees, I've heard when you do sankirtan, chanting Harinam sankirtan, then all jivas are benefited. So how are they benefited? They're hearing, or how is it affecting every living being? The trees, the grass?
Yeah, it's a sound vibration, yeah. It's like it was Haridas Thakur, he said that when you chant loudly the holy names, and even the cockroaches that are hiding in the cracks in the wall, they get liberation. They come into contact with that sound vibration. The sound vibration will act, even they don't know. But if they're just by being in the presence of the sound vibration, it means they'll get liberated, or at least the path of liberation is open for them. Just like Prabhupada used to give lectures here, he said, should I speak in English or Bengali? And Jenny Rome said, English, Prabhupada. Because there was mostly all English. It was that. There wasn't so many Bengalis in those days. But then Prabhupada said, anyway, it doesn't matter. They're not understanding this language of the English language. But nevertheless, they will benefit. He said, even the small children, they can't even speak yet. But that sound vibration will act even on the small children and the non-English speaking people. As the sound vibration is coming, that will have a great effect on them, even though they don't understand the language. So this is the glory of the holy name. This is why Ajamil was delivered. He only chanted one time. In one lecture, Pradyumna Prabhu, who was Prabhupada's pandit, he was reading the shloka, and Prabhupada was going to comment on this verse, and he was reading the shloka, and he said, so Ajamil, he called, Narayan, Narayan, Narayan. Prabhupada said, is that right? Three times? And then he looked in his Bhagavatams. It doesn't say three times. So you have to be careful what you put in the books. he was the pundit and translator. And doesn't say three times. You should be careful. You put in the book. Not three times. One is enough. One time of chanting Narayan is enough. He doesn't have to chant three times. this is Ajamil. One time he said he chanted. One time. So this is the glory simply of the sound vibration of those four syllables, Narayana. Combined together, that's sufficient. See, the letters of the Sanskrit alphabet are actually spiritual. They're reflections of, they have a spiritual counterpart. And these are vibrating in the soul, in the heart, these sound fragments. So when you get different fragments and put them like na, ra, ya, na, you get these, put them together, then it becomes, each is powerful, this syllable. But when you add them, then it becomes like a name of na, ra, ya, na. That specific combination of those four syllables has immense power. Especially for the self-realized souls who can actually chant from the spirit, from the soul. Then you add other mantras like Om and Namaha, then you say Om Narayana Namaha, then it becomes even more powerful, it becomes a Bij mantra. And then you add other mantras, it becomes Bij. Bij mantra. Anyway, it becomes a Gayatri mantra. And then it becomes very powerful. See, it denotes, or you have a Gayatri, You said you have the beach, kling, dij. It's a seed, like om. Om is a seed, a spiritual seed. So you can chant everything om first. Klim, om is a potency, it denotes eternality. So generally the students in the Gurukul, they go to the study under the Gurukul, and the teacher teaches them to chant om. So they have to sit in the proper posture, and the teacher pronounce it properly. Om. But they have to chant that until they actually realize that mantra, then it becomes awakened. They realize the transcendence of that sound vibration of om. So when they understand transcendence, then he teaches them the Vedas, or at least the transcendental portions of the Vedas, because they've mastered that art, they have to chant that om. They're like tuning into the spiritual vibration, which we should be. It's our very being. We are spiritual. It should be like that. We're completely forgetful of it and covered. But the awakening, a reawakening of that, these mantras are helpful. That you chant the om, then you realize. So the om specifically denotes eternality. It's eternal. Eternality, it's a... we are Sat Chit Ananda. Sat is eternal. You can realize that nature, eternal nature. Krishna says, Arjuna says, Kim Tat Brahman, Kim Adiatma. What is Brahman? What is the self? Krishna says the living entity is Brahman. You are Brahman. And his eternal nature is called the self. So you can realize your eternal nature, you can realize eternality. It's a vibration, it's existing, it's eternal. Everything is resting on this eternal nature. So you can tune into that by vibrating a sound, like om, when you learn to chant that properly. Then you can realize your own eternal nature. We denotes eternality, or kling denotes knowledge, divine knowledge. We chant that mantra, kling. Indicates knowledge, or bhakti also. We have sat chit ananda. So chit, sat, we are eternal. You can realize that. Chit, knowledge, you can realize transcendental knowledge. And ananda, you get bliss from realized knowledge. You will get bliss, and under that is your bhakti. So anyway, you combine these together, claim, you put, and then the name of the deity, Gauranga, say Gauraya, Namaha. Then you get the Mula Mantra, claim Gauraya Namaha. If you chant that perfectly, you contact those potencies put together, you'll contact Mahaprabhu, because you're chanting these mantras that indicate Gauraya. By using Kling and the Namaha, my obeisances unto you. Or then you want to make it bigger, Gayatri mantra. So then you take these sound fragments, Kling, Gauraya, Kling, Chaitanya, Kling? What is that? Gayatri Mantra. Chaitanya. Kling Chaitanya, Vidmahi. Vid means to know Lord Chaitanya, that means your Sambandha. Vidmahi. Kling Chaitanya, Vidmahi. Hey, next. Krishnananda, yeah. Vishwambara, the Lord of the universe, or that Lord who's caused the holy name, he's flooded the universe with, come to flood the universe with Braja Prema. Vishwambara, Dimahi, we are meditating on him. because it is he who enthuses, impels us forward. So then it becomes a Gayatri. You put all these sound fragments and it becomes very powerful. So if you perfect that, then you can actually see what the mantra is explaining. That will be revealed to you, namely Lord Gauranga and his pastimes. So they're very potent, these sound fragments. So Ajamil chanted it, even though he wasn't consciously thinking of, but the sound vibration was so powerful, is so powerful. This is what the whole verse chapter is about, the power of the holy name of God. It was so powerful that it counteracted all of the millions of sins that Ajamil had performed. It counteracted all the Yamadutas who were trying to drag his soul from the body. And all he did was just chant one sound vibration. But because it was the sound vibration of the Lord's holy name, it had that. And also he chanted without offense because he was in so much anxiety, he wasn't offensive. And then we immediately got reaction, he got liberation. He didn't get the bhakti or bhakti at that time, but he got liberation. And then he was continued his devotional service, he got pure bhakti. Potency of the whole, or just one sound vibration. Thank you.
I have a question, how can we become more enthused? Because for myself, after chanting Gayatri, I think
Hare Krishna. Now finally I finished my Gayatri, I can take prasad now. Because I asked this question, last night I got one amazing email. I was checking my email, I find out one letter from Jayapata Maharaj. And he's talking about his recent health update. And in that letter he says that every day he's doing his usual japa and usual Shalagram Shilo worship, not interrupted, not even one day. But actually he said his health is slightly down last week. And the doctor said in ordinary people would need a liver transplant in this case. But he's not doing liver transplant. That means anyway he's very sick. But he's doing his japa, he's doing his Shalagram Shila worship. He's also every morning he's translating his Chaitanya book. And he's participating in the Skype discussions and meetings and try to answer all his emails as far as possible. And also he's writing one book about Prabhupada during his presence. And he's giving evening class, Indian time, 8 to 9 p.m. and through Mayapur TV. And also he's, every week, one time he would go to Delhi temple, take darshan of Radha Parthasarathi. And he has his daily exercise treatment, also weekly checkups in the hospital. After reading this letter, I'm feeling so amazed. How can we become like that? How can we become so much enthused that we only want to perform devotional service and we won't care how the material, modes of nature would influence us? Thank you. Please clear my doubts and ignorance.
Yeah. Yeah, Jayapataka is amazing. I'm also very much enthused by him. He said his disciples can chant rounds and offer half of them if they like. What was that? Vyas Puja, was it? Oh, during the Bhishma Panchakam. He said, my disciples, if they like forming, they can chant extra rounds and offer half to me if they like. but I performed some bhai offer also for service of Jayapataka before yourself. Yeah. What can we say? One Vyas Puja of Jayapataka Maharaj, I was asked to speak and I said that when I see His Holiness Jayapataka Maharaj, my mind says, take a good look. Because this person, he's not living for himself. He lives for others only. This is Vaishnava, doesn't live for himself. So what can I say about that?
Jai Tak Maharaj was a very young sannyasi here in Mayapur, as you would recall, in the early 70s. He was always incredibly enthusiastic, constantly serving, trying to please Prabhupada so much, chanting so enthusiastically. And now that even though his material casing seems to be, for any normal person, the average person, it would be an impediment. But Jai Pataka Maharaj is indefatigable. He's just keeps on serving and serving and serving and serving, no matter what physical condition he's in. So I think he's all our heroes. For all of us, he's our hero.
Yeah, he's unfazed, completely unfazed. He just hasn't stopped. Like from 1971, he was 72, just running around making all the arrangements, the legal things, this, that, getting cows and building the project and everything. He just hasn't stopped from that time, and he's just still doing it. He still hasn't stopped. Even anyone else would have retired, I certainly would have. But he just hasn't stopped. He's unfazed by it, isn't it? Just by witnessing him, you can become confused. Better to analyze Jai Pataka Maharaj than analyze your devotional service. Then you'll get enthused, I think. Jai Pataka Swami Maharaj ki. Srimad Bhagavatam ki. Jai Nitai Gaur Premanandi.